we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Thursday, Brevard County. How's it going today? The weekend is in sight. Memorial Day weekend is in sight. And I hope that you are going to have a great, great weekend. Don't do anything stupid. Can I tell you that? Don't. As a pastor, please don't do anything stupid. I hate reading headlines where famous people, celebrities, people that I know, end up doing things that are going to forever taint their reputation. Please don't do anything dumb. Okay. And so if you're heading out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I encourage you to have a great time, but please remember you're a child of God. Your body is an instrument of righteousness. If you name Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your body is an instrument of righteousness. Take good care of it. I know a lot of people who would appreciate a great deal having a healthy body right now. And so please do that. Births this comment is I remember having a conversation with a person many, many years ago. They were looking forward to a year of new beginnings. And before sunrise on January the 1st, they had already messed up their year. From the time that the new year was brought in until the sunrise, they had already compromised their year. And they already had a brand new mess to clean up with. And so I encourage you, minimize your messes, live God's way, and operate by His word. Hopefully we'll see you in church on Sunday. I will be preaching. Our worship leader is away this week, so we have a guest worship leader. One of the folks from our congregation is going to be leading worship for us. And so we would love to have you come and worship with us Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., and I promise to preach until I can't preach, or I'll preach until I'm done sharing what God wants me to. One of the things that I found is that when the inflow of word stops, it's best for my mouth to stop. That's one of the things that I've operated by. So hopefully we'll see you this weekend. If not, do stay safe, and we will get back with you on the other side. But we still got tomorrow's broadcast as well. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 64. By the way, I haven't introduced myself. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God 24 and a half years now. And we are real excited about what God has been doing. Going through a season of adjustment right now and at the church. But we praise God who does all things well. And so as we are hearing from God and making the changes that we need, we're believing that the harvest will increase in the days ahead. So Isaiah chapter 64, verse number 1, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. But we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquity. So we're going to stop there today. I was so excited with the verse yesterday, Isaiah 64, 3, 4, and 5, that there is no God besides you who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. That's absolutely awesome. That verse just blessed me. Isaiah says to God here, you are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved. Okay? So I need you to understand that sin is not a flippant or cavalier lifestyle or attitude. The world just assumes that sin is no big deal, unless they are the one that is being sinned against. And then it's a huge deal. I know many people who are outspoken, but you can't speak anything to them. And those people and me, we have some issues from time to time if that's their mindset, because I think that if you're going to be able to speak your mind, then you ought to be able to hear when other people have something that they might want to share with you that you might not like as well. But, you know, that's just me. I think there needs to be the same standard for everybody. It's kind of the way I look at life, is God has the same standard. If a person sins in one area of the law and they don't sin in another area of the law, the Bible says they're still guilty of the whole thing. Sin is displeasing in God's sight. Sin is something that it captivates the heart. It cuts off relationship with God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that wasn't a good thing. That was a bad thing. There was a price tag that had to be paid, and the price was way too much. And for your sin and for my sin and the sin of the world, it required the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world to come and give his life in order for the sin of the world to be taken away. And so please, if you have some issues going on in your life right now, would you do yourself, would you do your family, would you do the kingdom and your mission field, would you do all of us a favor and realize how serious an offense it is? That it's not something to be winked at. In fact, the Bible says God is not winking at those things. It's serious. And I don't want to make God angry. If we're walking in covenant with God, why would we ever want to make him angry? I know that there are people that saying, well, you know, Isaiah's under the old covenant, we're under the new covenant, but God's attitude towards sin has never changed. The provisions, the covenant that we walk in, it's been dealt with by the body and the blood. There is grace that is available to us, but it is a grace that empowers us to live a life of righteousness and holiness. Not that we would continue in sin. The soul that continues to sin doesn't know God the way that God wants to be known. Okay, so let's look at this covenant. Now, the closest thing that we have to understanding covenant is the marriage covenant. By the way, that is not just between a husband and a wife. It is between a husband, a wife, and God. It is a threefold cord. God needs to be in that relationship. Marriage is hard with God. Marriage is even more challenging without God. So you need God in there. You need God working in you to forgive, and you need God working in you so that you don't offend your spouse as much as you used to. Amen. I'll amen myself there. And so God, Isaiah says, "You are indeed angry, for we have sinned." It would be dumb of me to walk in covenant with my wife and intentionally do things that annoy the thunder out of her. That's an Oklahoma expression. So that are an offense to her, that are a grievance to her. And so if I was intentionally doing those things, then her demeanor towards me is going to change. Her mindset is still that she loves me, but she's not going to be happy with me. She is going to be very upset. And so the goal of walking in covenant with someone is not to see what you can get by with, but it is how much you can honor God in your covenant with your spouse. And so please do not use the grace of God as a license to sin. It is not. Please do not use the grace of God as a form of spiritual arrogance to presume that, oh, well, whatever God does, he's going to bail me out. That's not the grace of God. The grace of God is to empower us to live the way that God wants us to live. "You are indeed angry, for we have sinned, and in these ways we continue." So if you stumble, if you fall, don't run from God. Run to him. Say, "God, please forgive me." There's forgiveness available. He told Peter that if Peter said, you know, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times, and Jesus said 70 times seven. It was kind of an infinitum type thing. It was as many times as he comes and asks for forgiveness, forgiveness is available. And God will help you, but you need God's help so that you stop that cycle of falling for the same old thing. You know, the world has told us so many times that this sin is harmless and that sin is harmless, and this over here, it's just a little bitty thing. And they have all of these classification systems for it. And they say, well, this one here is victimless. It doesn't hurt anybody. And there are no such sins. Sin always victimizes, and sin always has a price tag. And so even now, many sociologists and people who aren't even operating from a Christian mindset are realizing that some of the things that have been identified as victimless sins, or things that really aren't that big of a deal, that they're something not to be despised, they're supposed to be embraced. Many sociologists and many people are coming out and saying, you know what? That did not make my life better. It made my life worse. And so don't continue in the sin. I heard a joke a long, long time ago by a preacher named John Hagee. And he talked about a man who drove the same route to work for every day for years and years and years. And one day they put up a stop sign, and they put a sign up that said, you know, hey, we're growing and we've had to put up a stop sign, and so it's new, be careful. And so the first day the guy blew right through the stop sign. It had never been there before, and he blew right through it, and a police officer pulled him over and said, look, we just put that stop sign in, and so you need to stop. And the guy said, you know, I did stop. And he said, no, I watched you. You did not stop. And he said, I did stop. And the police officer said, no, you slowed down a little bit, but you didn't stop. And the man said, same thing. And he said, look, I'm just giving you a warning today. You need to stop that stop sign. And the next day, he came up to the stop sign again. And they had the same conversation all over again. He said, look, I'm going to give you a warning one more time, but if this happens again, I'm going to give you a ticket. And the third day, the guy did the exact same thing, blew right through the stop sign, and they were having the same conversation. And finally, the police officer took out his baton and started hitting the motorist and said, now, do you want me to stop or do you want me to slow down? And you see, that was before, you know, a lot. That was 20 years ago. And, you know, if somebody was abusing us, we would understand the meaning of stop. Why is it that we try and redefine the word not continuing in that lifestyle of sin any longer? Why do we try and redefine that as just either ignoring it or using grace as a license to sin or just slowing down a little bit? Why do we try and do that when God means to deliver us from it? I don't know about you, but if I was delivered from someplace, from, you know, if I was delivered from the hospital back to my house, I wouldn't want to go right back to the hospital again. If I was delivered from prison, I'm the type of guy, if I'm delivered from jail, if I'm delivered from prison, I don't want to go back because I've done jail ministry and I've done prison ministry and I loved it when they threw open the gates and I got to walk out and go back home again. I loved ministering when I was ministering to the people who were inmates, but I loved the fact that they would open the door so that I could get out again. That made my day. I never really understood the recidivism rate where people get out and they immediately commit a crime so they can get back in again. I don't know why people do that for prison, and I certainly don't know why people do that with sin. If you're continuing in sin, if there is a habitual practice of sin and there's no progress in that front, okay? Now I am a big believer in progress, okay? I'm a big believer in progress. But if you're still actively engaged in sin, Isaiah says we need to be saved. There needs to be salvation that comes. There needs to be a better understanding of who Jesus is, of what Jesus approves of. See, the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, many people stop reading prematurely in that story. They understand that Jesus says, woman, where are your accusers? They understand that part. They understand, then neither do I condemn thee. They like that part, but he doesn't stop there. He says, go and sin no more. Now, why would Jesus tell that person that and then tell us that, oh, well, it's no big deal if we continue to sin? I've been in conversations with people who told me that even though they knew God was not endorsing something, that they were going to continue with it and afterwards they would repent. And I'm telling you, that's a heart that needs to have a serious encounter with the Holy Spirit. They need to have a Jesus encounter where they say, you know what, doing it my way has made a big mess of things. And I need to try doing it Jesus' way a little bit more. So we are all like an unclean thing and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. You see, it is the fact that Jesus is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. That's what gives us the appearance that we look. I don't know if you've ever had clothes and you put them on and everything was going fine and then somebody said, do you realize you got a stain right there? I hate that when that happens. That's an immediate demotion into the work clothes pile. And so this is not saying that we need to cease acting in righteousness. This means we need the righteousness of God imputed, imparted, and put into practice in our lives. Okay, let's go on down to verse number 7. And there is no one, let's see, we all, this is still verse 6, we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Your sins will have detrimental effect on your health, your relationships, your spiritual well-being. It will have a negative impact on you. Don't embrace those sins. It goes on in verse 7, and there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. One of the price tags of sin is that your desire for the things of God is going to be replaced with longings for other things. And none of those things will want to let you go. And so this is a verse that I want us to take action on today, that we don't delay this, that we don't kick this can down the road, that we don't assign this to someone else. This is not something that I can delegate to someone else. This is just an opportunity that I can lay before you. And if you seize this opportunity, then you are going to be better off for it. If I seize this opportunity, I'm going to be better off for it. I just want you to know that the opportunity to change a reality is set before you. You see, we have to change the things that we can. There are certain things that I can't change. I can't change other people. The only person I can change with the help of God is me. I can set the truth out there. I can give the opportunity. I can set the plate before them. But what they do with that opportunity is up to them. And so let me tell you, it says, there is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take hold of you. And another translation says, and keep hold of you. That's something that the Holy Ghost wants to do today, that he wants for us to be motivated to call upon the name of the Lord. There, he is looking for us not to be complacent in our sin or held in captivity in our sin, but instead that we are stirred, we are motivated to take hold of and keep hold of God and the Word of God and the things of God. Don't let it go. Don't let God go. Don't allow sin to strangle your desire for God. The natural tendency, and the devil feeds into this, is if you have blown it, if today you're not where you were, that you want to run from God, you want to hide from God, and the devil will reinforce that by saying, God didn't want to have anything to do with you because look at how you've blown it. And the exact opposite is the truth. God came to reconcile us to himself, and Jesus is the one who made that possible. So today, will you join me in calling on the name of the Lord? Will you stir yourself up? Motivate yourself. You see, there are different types of motivation. There is motivation that comes from the outside. And that is, you're driving down the road and you don't really care what the speed limit sign says. And all of a sudden you see a police officer and all of a sudden you are motivated to go the speed limit. That's external motivation. That's motivation that says there is going to be a price to pay if I do not do what I'm supposed to do. There's a reward to be gained. So there are sometimes people are motivated by a paycheck to go to their job and they don't even like their job. There are sometimes that are people are motivated from the outside. But then there are people who are internally motivated who say, you know what? I would do this job for free because I am so motivated to do this. I am so in love with what I get to do. And so We need that internal motivation that is birthed by the Spirit of God inside of us, that we take hold of God and we keep hold of God, that we guard our hearts. There's a Greek word that's called tereo, T-E-R-E-O, and it means to keep or to guard or protect. And there are certain things that God will keep and guard and protect. And then there are other things that we have to guard. We need to guard our heart. Why don't we close this broadcast out today? We've got a couple of minutes here. And let's make sure that the statement that there is no one who calls on the name of the Lord, calls on your name, let's make sure that that's not a reality today, May the 25th, 2017. Father, right now, we call upon you. We come to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. God, we call upon you because you are holy and you are righteous. You have exalted your word and your name above all things. The name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, above every principality and every power, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, today we will call upon that name. We call upon that name early in this day that you would lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that the nations would tremble at your presence and that they would know that God is not dead, but Jesus is very much alive and that he is moving in their midst, God. Today, would you move on behalf of those who wait for you, who are calling upon your name, who remember you and your ways, who rejoice in doing righteousness. God, we call upon you today. Lord, we want to thank you that it is your desire to dwell in our midst, that you are not an unapproachable God. You are not a God who is far away, but you are a God who is very near. Today, we want to call upon you. We want to take hold of you. We want to keep hold of you today, O God. We want to walk in covenant with you today. God, in this sense, that what has been joined together with you, God, that nothing would put it asunder. No man would put it asunder. God, I pray that there would be no temptation that would come and drive a wedge between us, no sin that would be more enticing or more appealing. God, today I pray that we would have such a revelation of you that there would be nothing that the devil would be able to dangle in front of us that would be more enticing or alluring than you. God, today we want to thank you. Thank you for offering us forgiveness. Today we say yes. Yes to you as Savior and yes to you as Lord. We embrace you and we embrace your word today. And God, we want to thank you that you forgive our sins and you empower us to live a righteous life before you. Keep calling on his name. Take hold of him and don't let him go. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.